Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Before we get into our topic today, we'd like to remind you that the Adams Road Band is in town. They are in the Salt Lake area this week and will be performing at a number of churches in the area. If you'd like to know what their calendar entails, please go to adamsroadband.com/calendar and you will get a full listing of where they are going to be performing. We strongly encourage you, if you can make it out, to go see Adams Road Band. It's an incredible group of guys with a very incredible testimony of coming out of the Mormon Church. Many of them served as Mormon missionaries and are now graciously saved by God's mercy, and we thank Him for that. We are getting back into our subject regarding Mormon history, the movement of the Mormon Church from Ohio to Missouri. And now we're going to see a chain of events that is eventually going to lead the Mormons into the state of Illinois. What is going to do that is what's known as the Battle of Crooked River. As we've been mentioning, the Mormons coming into the Missouri area are not always met with smiles by the locals. There were some things said by the Mormons that infuriated the local Missourians. The talk about how their land was going to be given to the Mormons by, I guess you could call it, divine right of some sort. And then we have the July 4th oration that was given by Sidney Rigdon, who was Joseph Smith's right-hand man at the time. And as we've mentioned, Sidney Rigdon was known for saying things that would certainly infuriate people that heard his words, one of which in this July 4th oration is when he calls for the extermination of those who would persecute the Mormons, saying that they would never be the aggressors. Well, you can say that, but how are your actions going to be understood in the eyes of those of whom you are, well, in their opinion, that they were aggressors? So that makes it very difficult. There's a lot of tension here in Missouri. Now, we know that Mormons often like to talk about the persecution periods, and they're certainly correct. The Mormon Church and the Mormon people certainly were persecuted by people among whom they lived. But it would be wrong to say that some of the behavior that was against the Mormon people was without any cause at all. In other words, the Mormons were not always blameless. And sadly, many times when the Mormons tell their side of the story, they tend to leave out some things that really need to be told. And the Battle of Crooked River is one of those stories that needs to be told. Yesterday, we were talking about how three Mormons were taken prisoners by the Missourians, the Missouri militia. And that is important. They were taken captive by the militia. And so news comes to the Mormons, and now they are gathering a bunch of people to engage the Missouri militia and get those prisoners back. The Battle of Crooked River is mentioned on page 73 of Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith. However, the details we're going to look at are from another book.
Why do you think that they don't talk too much about this?
You know, I don't know.
Maybe Emma's not too involved with this? Is that why?
It could be. I don't want to find any type of conspiracy behind this, that they don't go into a lot of detail about the Battle of Crooked River. It gets a brief mention. Some of the details are mentioned by the two Mormon authors. But we can find out more of the details in other sources. And that's why we want to bring to you, our listeners, what some other historians have actually said about this event, so we can kind of fill in the gaps and you see what I think is really the severity of the situation. So yesterday we were quoting from Stephen LeSueur's book, 1838 Mormon War.
And it's interesting because of the three people that were caught, two were spies. And they were going to execute them in the morning, according to LeSueur. And that really drew the outrage of Joseph Smith, and go and kill every devil of them is what he said.
Well, that's what Judy said.
Yeah.
And Judy was one of those who brought the news that there were prisoners being held by the Missourians.
And we have to take him for his word, I think. It's, you know, it's something
LeSueur obviously believed it was trustworthy.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, so then Lesueur writes, it is not certain whether the Mormon soldiers realized they would be riding against another militia unit, but given the circumstances and nature of the conflict, it probably would not have mattered. Command of the expedition was given to Captain and Apostle David W. Patton.
And as we mentioned yesterday, David Patton was killed in the Battle of Crooked River, even though it was predicted in Section 114 of the Doctrine and Covenants that about a year from that time, he was supposed to go on a mission.
Yep.
And that was given to Joseph Smith by revelation. And of course, the question we ask is, why didn't the God of Joseph Smith realize that Patton would not be alive the next spring in order to fulfill that prediction? Another Mormon historian that talks about the Battle of Crooked River is D. Michael Quinn. Now, D. Michael Quinn was a Mormon at the time he wrote The Mormon Hierarchy, Origins of Power. He was excommunicated in 1993, however. He calls himself a DNA Mormon. I like reading Quinn because Quinn, I think, fills in a lot of details. Kind of like our two authors for Mormon Enigma, he does tend to want to be as honest as he possibly can be. And as we've mentioned, that does tend to get Mormon historians in trouble.
Somebody listening to this might not know about all these Mormon books. Where can you get these books?
Well, you can certainly get them at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, and they do mail order. So if you want to contact them at utlm.org, you could order these books online or call them up at the bookstore. Let me just get into this here. On page 99 of The Mormon Hierarchy, Origins of Power, Quinn says this. He ends a paragraph by making this statement, and the reason I want to bring it up is to put things in perspective. Remember, a lot of the Mormons that were involved in these retaliatory strikes, if you want to call them that, these defensive measures, as, of course, the Mormons would take them to be, were done by men who, under Samson Avard, were considered Danites. They were like the Mormon hitmen, if you want to put a modern term on them. That's really what they were. The Missourians would probably call them terrorists, okay, if you were to put it in a modern term.
Freedom fighters or terrorists, it depends on your perspective.
You're absolutely right. But here's what Quinn says. What the Danites did militarily during the summer and fall of 1838 was by the general oversight and command of Joseph Smith. In the skirmishes that both sides called battles, Mormons used deadly force without reluctance. Benjamin F. Johnson wrote that Danite leader and future apostle Lyman White told his men to pray concerning their Missouri enemies, quote, that God would damn them and give us power to kill them, end quote. Likewise, at the beginning of the Battle of Crooked River on the 25th of October, 1838, Apostle David W. Patton, a Danite captain with the codename Fear Not, told his men, go ahead, boys, rake them down. The highest-ranking Mormon charged with murder for obeying this order was Apostle Parley P. Pratt, who allegedly took the careful aim of a sniper in killing one Missourian and then severely wounding militiaman Samuel Tarwater. This was after David Patton received a fatal stomach wound. Now, this shows he's not going to take that mission in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to die from the stomach wound. In their fury at the sight of their fallen leader, some of the Danites mutilated the unconscious Tarwater, quote, with their swords, striking him lengthwise in the mouth, cutting off his underteeth and breaking his lower jaw, cutting off his cheeks and leaving him for dead, end quote. He survived to press charges against Pratt for attempted murder. So you can see this is getting pretty brutal. And the Mormons are being brutal in the way they treated Tarwater. Quinn goes on to say, nevertheless, Mormon marauding against non-Mormon Missourians in 1838 was mild by comparison with the brutality of the anti-Mormon militias. And that's a quote that we gave you a few days ago that was cited by another Mormon historian. He was actually quoting Quinn. 3 days after Governor Lilburn W. Boggs issued a military order that the Mormons must be exterminated or driven from the state, a Missouri militia unit attacked the LDS settlement at Hahn's Mill on the 30th of October, 1838. They shot at and wounded 13 fleeing women and children, then methodically killed 18 males, including 2 boys. But then what does Quinn go on to say?
Yeah, he says, a generally unacknowledged dimension of both the extermination order and the Hans Mill massacre, however, is that they resulted from Mormon actions in the Battle of the Crooked River. Knowingly or not, Mormons had attacked state troops, and this had a cascade effect. Local residents feared annihilation. Quote, we know not the hour or minute we'll be laid in ashes, end quote, a local minister and county clerk wrote the day after the battle. Quote, for God's sake, give us assistance as quick as possible, end quote. Correspondingly, the attack on state troops weakened the position of Mormon friends in Missouri's militia and government. Finally, upon receiving news of the injuries and death of state troops at Crooked River, Governor Boggs immediately drafted his extermination order on 27th of October, 1838, because the Mormons, quote, have made war upon the people of the state, end quote. Worse, the killing of one Missourian and mutilation of another while he was defenseless at Crooked River led to the mad dog revenge by Missourians in the slaughter at Hans Mill.
Okay, so what took place at Crooked River about 5 days or so before is what ultimately led to the killings at Hans Mill. Were the killings at Hans Mill justified? Absolutely not. But see, there's another part to the puzzle that oftentimes the average Mormon member is completely unaware of.
And that's crucial, because how often do we hear Boggs' name?
Extermination order.
Extermination order. We hear it at Manti every year.
Every year we hear it.
It's in the play, and they make Boggs to look like he was a madman. And yet, you have to understand context of the whole situation. And we mentioned yesterday about the 19th century and about how things were a little different than they are in the 21st century. And
well, there's a lot of frontier justice going on, no doubt. But still, I think you're right. It's absolutely crucial if we kind of get a picture of the whole story here.
Yeah.
Do we condone actions? Well, I don't on either side. I find problems with either side and how they're behaving here. But still, if we're going to fully understand what's taken place historically, we have to take the whole picture into account. Unfortunately, a lot of Latter-day Saints don't do that. And so they only tell one side of the story, and they give a very skewed perception of what actually took place.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, corresponds to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.